Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we got to get to something that I'm very fascinated about.
Not letting this go,
is,
by the way.
There is a moving goalpost within how we talk about Shador on every point. I've already talked about the thing that annoys me with moving goalpost on all of a sudden saying he's not pro-ready, when that was literally not one of the things believed to be spoken about Shador anyways. But there's this kind of tread going, there's this trend going along where Shador is a fifth-round pick, and you only saying that when it benefits your argument. Right? Like, if you don't want us to talk Shador being in this quarterback battle, it's like he's a fifth round pick. And you might have also said, like 6 weeks ago, Shador was your favorite pick because you got second round pick value in the fifth round. And I think that's one example. Guys, I don't care there's a fifth round pick anymore. I care where I think he was. I think he was a second or third round pick. So to me, he's in the conversation. And by the way, I treat him as such in every regard. I don't think they should cut him if he doesn't win the job or if he's not one of the three best quarterbacks. I think he has the kind of talent that you hang on to and see if over time he can get something out if he's not ready now.
So I think the only version where I view, like, hey, he was a fifth-round pick is in an evaluation of Andrew Berry. Like, if Shador goes through and fails to the credit of Andrew Berry being able to draft, then Shador was a fifth-round pick. Like, you actually used it on him. You should be holding that part of it against him. You shouldn't be going down the list and be like, oh, and I mean, they couldn't even make Shador work. Well, either could the other 31 teams in the NFL who let him fall five rounds. Like, that's where the only time I would go, okay, he's a fifth. Everywhere else, it's Shador is either going to succeed or fail in a building where the Browns are set up in a position that you should be able to give him the best shot to succeed because he has a path to actually getting to the starting job.
I think it's the only card you can play to discredit the kid, because you know you can't be like, well, Joe Flacco's clearly better than Shador. Well, you might be able to say that one. You can't say Dylan Gabriel is. You can't use draft positioning because not a person in the world outside of Berea believed he was a third-round pick. You can't say Kenny Pickett was, because we all watch Kenny Pickett and we know what Kenny Pickett has been. So there's a part of me that's like, and even the Browns, I think, like, well, hey, we want to tamp down some of the excitement here. He's a fifth-round pick. It's like, I'm sorry, didn't I just hear Kevin Stefanski like five times in 5 weeks say draft position didn't matter? Once you get in the building, where you're drafted doesn't matter, which also isn't true for this organization, because it does matter. Higher you drafted, the longer leash they're going to give you. But I just think it's interesting. Like, you brought up the question here. Will Shador be treated as a fifth-round pick if he fails? Walk me through that. Like, what does that mean to you?
I think that was actually other Jake that brought down the table, but I'll still walk you through it.
You're one to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jake and Jake.
You're the same guy.
Yeah, same name. Yeah,
if you guys would like to distinguish each other, maybe get a tattoo, face tattoo Jake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he starts gambling a lot. I don't know. I'm just thinking of, like, ways. Maybe one of you changes your names to Onyx. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way that you guys could, you know.
They've always said I'd look way better with a face tattoo.
Or
it'd fit me very well.
Onyx Volnick is something that I would say. It's a pretty catchy name there.
Sounds like somebody in the name of, like, an adult industry.
We should all be so lucky. Got to get paid to do what you love, right?
I am right now, actually.
Well, that too, right?
Yeah.
You can have both. I don't need the extra quarter inch. Can have afternoon drive and OnlyFans. Think
Daddy's
about it.
Daddy's back.
The crossovers are endless.
I don't think there's any crossover. I think it's a straight down the middle. One, you have one side and the other. There's no crossover.
And we can make it experiential.
Two.
You're not going to outfreak this freak, okay?
So when we talk about Shador, and between being like, I think where we go is it's how you view Shador. So the entire premise is if he fails, right? If it doesn't work, I think it's more so in going back and looking at it and saying, okay, are you basically grouping him in with where the Browns have taken other quarterbacks, or Johnny Manziel was a fail and a complete oversight on the organization? You take the other quarterbacks in the first round, I think, like outside of Baker, like you look at Couch and, I mean, cycle through whatever, DeShone Kizer, Cody Kessler, and do you group them in with everybody? Or does a fifth round sort of play a difference on that?
Here's the thing. I'm not going to look back if Shador doesn't work out here. Let's go to like the biggest extreme we could go here. Let's say not only does he not win the job, but he doesn't do the things behind closed doors that the Browns want him to, and he gets cut, and he's on somebody else's practice squad in 6 weeks' time. And let's say Washington out of the NFL by the end of this year. Let's just go to like the worst thing we can imagine him actually doing this year. I will not mention him in the same breath as Johnny Manziel or Justin Gilbert or Brandon Whedon or any of the catastrophic busts that have negatively impacted the course of Browns history. That said, I think everybody else will. I think a certain segment of the fan base will because of the hype. Because I think there are fans that I think are rooting against Shador because they just don't like the hype, or they don't like Dion, or they don't like him. They don't like the entourage. They come up with reasons to not like him. More importantly, I think there are people in the media that I think him being a bust is a very that's like a sensational thing that you can do, get a lot of content from. So I personally, like, guys, if he doesn't work out, I'm going to say, yeah, it's a fifth round pick. On to the next. Now, it was for me, it was always about 2026 anyways for the quarterback. So like my hope with Shador is just prove me wrong. Steal the job from under the 2026 first round picks feet. That being said, I'm going to tell you right now, when we start to make our lists and power rank busts in Browns history, a lot of people nationally just cannot wait to put Shador on that list. And same thing here locally. I know because they're in our Facebook mentions.
So you're basically viewing him as if he was Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, that's what he should be. And by the way, even if he was a second round pick, even if he had been picked 33 or 35, like I don't treat Austin Corbett as one of the great busts because it was what, 2 years and done here in Cleveland? No, it just didn't work out. Now it helps he has a good career elsewhere. But like, even if he was a second round pick, it was never about him. When the Browns, Brandon Whedon was Tom Heckert and Pat Shermer's Hail Mary. We had to try and save this thing by overdrafting an ancient-ass quarterback. That one set you back because you wasted a top 32 pick. I cannot remember. I might be conflating my drafts. I think that's the draft where two picks earlier, Chandler Jones had gone, and there had been talk about trading up for Chandler Jones, and they decided to stay back and draft Brandon Whedon. Johnny Manziel, when you factor in that Derek Carr went, I think, 10 picks later, and Justin Gilbert was the ninth pick in that draft, when you could have had Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald in either your original spot or the ninth pick, or Odell, by the way. That's a bust that, combined with everything else, negatively impacted the trajectory. If Shador busts this year, guys, there's no impact. The plan was always go to 2026. But people won't have that logic because Shador's got a TikTok and because Shador has an entourage and because his dad talks a lot. Like, he'll never be graded off just what he does unless he's exceptionally well or exceptionally bad. If he's mid or bad, it's going to be, what a waste, which is ridiculous. We should never talk about fifth-round picks, even though I look at him and like, I guess second-round pick, let's keep him around.
So the 2026 thing is, I think, where I disagree with you. If it was always about 2026, I think if your focus right now is we are always going to get the quarterback in 2026 and we basically just drafted Shador and Dylan Gabriel on a limb, that's like a borderline fireable offense for me. You have a third and a fifth round pick and you just basically took a flame to them and said, oh, well, hopefully they work. If not,
I mean, they're flyers. I disagree. Well, now, listen, I don't love the Dylan Gabriel one because I don't want to draft a backup quarterback with a 92nd pick. And they had Charles Grant of William & Mary, who I loved as a potential future left tackle or left guard for you. There's a couple other kids now that they're, but Charles Grant was the one that upset me. He went like two picks later to Seattle. An incredible draft pick for them. But no, I mean, I don't care. Honestly, if you spent two, because here's the thing. Those guys won't start. If Dylan Gabriel's a career backup and Kevin Stefanski's still here, he still fits your system. You're going to keep Dylan Gabriel on as your backup for years to come. If Dylan washes out, you're still going to get the contractual value of having 3 or 4 or 5 years of control there. You know, like it's not as simple as, hey, you're going to draft a quarterback next year. And then, oh, here's the other thing. It's a late third round pick and a fifth round pick. If that quarterback wins next year, it's not going to be fireable, right? Like if Andrew Berry, let's say they go, awful scenario, they go 2-15. But they go 2-15, Berry and Stefanski miraculously, God himself came down off heavens to stop Jimmy from firing them, whatever it is. And they get that quarterback right, and it's apparent next year, you're not going to give a crap about Shador or Dylan and where they were drafted a year, right?
You're saying with the 2026 pick,
yes,
they get the pass. Yeah. So I think that's a part of where we're, how Barry's going to be viewed versus how the entire thing should be viewed. Because I think he's getting viewed on a 2-year scale where you're basically, when you look back on it, like not right here in the moment, but when you look back and 2026 is over, it's going to be, here's what Andrew Berry did within 2 years of the draft.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's going to be judged on two individual single year. He's going to be judged this year, and then if he still has a job next year, all right, and then that silo as well.
Well, I think,
but historically, you're right. I think he'll be viewed back on those 2 years.
Right. I think the people just group that in. It's like, okay, well, the team got bad, and he had two drafts to go. Here's what he sort of gave you, when realistically, you're going to have a good 2025 class, maybe, but if you burned the two picks, I don't think that's a good draft in at least the quarterback position specifically.
216-474-0092. Will Shador be treated as a fifth-round pick if he fails? It's how it should be. He's Shador. If he's a success, it'll be one of the biggest thing of ever. If he's mid, it'll be made a biggest deal of the middest quarterback ever in a fifth-round pick. If he's awful, he's gonna be awful on an incendiary level that annoys all of us. And from doubting the rookie to going one step in the ultimate direction for these rookies in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Where do you stand on the rookie starting week one conversation and how it's kind of crawled into this conversation and the many tributaries?
So I'm pro get the rookies out there and actually see what you have in them at some point. I just think weeks 1 through 6, I think I'm similar to where JP is on this, where weeks 1 through 6 are an absolute atrocity if you start a rookie quarterback. Like 5 out of the 6 defenses you played are probably going to be top 10 to 15 defenses, mm-hmm, all back to back to back. Of course, other than the Bengals, who are going to probably be like 29, 30. But I think that's an absolute no-go for a rookie quarterback, especially like maybe if you draft him in the first round, maybe if it's Cam Ward, I go out and I make that decision, not when it's Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders.
So it's funny. I see your point, and I see when JP says that. I don't think you should force the rookie starting week one, meaning it's not fait accompli, right? They have to earn it, and they don't just have to earn it. They probably have to be tangibly better than either of the vets, which I think is going to be really hard with Joe. I don't know it's going to be that tough with Kenny Pickett, even though he is a preseason Pickett, and he just becomes Joe Montana when the games don't matter. When the games matter, it becomes Kenny Pickett. But I do want to leave the door open. Like, that's what vexes me a little bit. If it's like, no, don't start him. It's like, guys, if they're ready and they can hang and they're the better quarterbacks, who gives a rip who the first 6 games are? Because the whole point of this is, at least from the fan perspective, the media perspective, the Browns might not view this in a 1-year silo for those two guys. We should.
So I think more of it comes down for like almost a killer of confidence type thing.
I think that's being a little precious, don't you?
Not really. Like, I think if you go out there and you say, okay, you're on the same plane as a Joe Flacco, talent-wise, what you're going to perform, or maybe you're better than Joe Flacco would perform, I think even if you start Joe weeks 1 through 6, Joe's going to struggle. Throws a lot of interceptions. I think against those defenses, you probably see him throw a lot of interceptions. Probably gets rushed.
Flacco?
I know, right?
Interceptions? Oof. How dare you?
I'm just saying, I think more so than if he would have played the entire 18 games. There's obviously that six-week stretch is going to be difficult. I think when you take a rookie quarterback and you throw them into that and they see the first 6 weeks are difficult, it makes playing that easier team week 7 through 17 or 18 and your easier spots, it doesn't make it harder, but it makes it, I think, more difficult to have the same level of confidence. Like, oh, I'm just going to go sling it. It's, oh, I've thrown 8 interceptions in 6 games. Hopefully I don't do it here.
All right, so you really got to earn it. And so I'm like 96% sure it should be Joe Flacco week 1. But specific to you, it sounds like you're 100% absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, unless they are like God's gift to earth. It's like 99.8%.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're that far off on that, which is interesting because I think most fans are there, which is, man, I'd love to see one of the rookies, because it's a confidence builder. It's more interesting. If Joe wasn't in the room, I think we'd be 100% we want them to start because none of us believe in Kenny Pickett. But Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, and mind you, Daniel used to work for the Browns as a scout, is one of the most glued in guys in the NFL when it comes to former personnel guys. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and his view on a rookie starting week 1 at quarterback for the Browns is wildly different than yours or mine.
I feel like Flacco probably has his spot reserved, and then it's going to be 3 for 2. So you got those 3 young guys competing for the 2 spots. And I would say, you know, based off of Gabriel, where he was picked, based off of the ability, you know, and I go back to Shadur with my 20th player. He's a first round caliber player. Like, talent wise, both those guys, I think, have a huge advantage over Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett has to be light years better than each of them to make the teams. To me, I think Joe Flacco is just in case they don't feel like they can be competent at the position, then you insert Joe. I think their week 1 starter is going to be, I think it's going to be one of those 2 rookies.
All right, so there's a few things. One, the thing I think he's most right on is the Kenny Pickett stuff. And I think this is where, this flies right in line with how I've thought of Kenny Pickett since they drafted the second rookie, or since they drafted the second quarterback. I think it was going to be the 2 veterans.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
And a rookie, and then we're just going to kind of throw it out there and see. Give Kenny a chance to win the job, but it's Joe's job to lose, kind of thing. I think Kenny's fighting for a supper here, and I think he really is singing for a supper. And it wouldn't surprise. Listen, I think the only reason if he doesn't win the starting job, I think the only reason he'll be on the roster week one is injury or Andrew Berry's stubbornness that he doesn't want to look like he lost that trade.
I think there's a good chance he ends up being rostered. I think.
Why?
I don't agree with the four quarterback
thing.
I'm
very upset.
Why?
Why? Show your work.
I don't agree with four quarterbacks starting and going out there and being there week one. I think there's a world where the Browns do that, and I think it's disastrous. I also just think we disagree with Kenny being in the room, but I think for much different reasons. Like, my fear is not that Kenny is the worst quarterback on the planet and is just absolute garbage when he throws in there, which I think would probably be more likely than not. My fear is Kenny Pickett looks good, like, or acceptably good. Like, not obviously, I'm not saying he's a top 10 quarterback, but if the offense functions, I would fear that you get into a situation like Seattle did with Geno Smith or like the Vikings could have with Sam Darnold, where you watch a guy play well and you're like, oh, this could work. This could happen. Then Kenny starts all year, and all of a sudden you have Kenny Pickett as your quarterback for the next 4 years, and you're destined to be a 9-win football team as your cap.
I'll indulge you on the idea that Kenny's secretly going to be passable. I think he's like last year for Brock Purdy, where people are like, well, the stats weren't that bad. If you watch Brock Purdy was hot trash last year. And there were stretches where it wasn't very good the year before, despite the stats telling a different story. My greatest fear is that Kenny Pickett might be good enough to get you to 7-10, and then you have to decide between giving him $40 million a year, which he would not be worth in this event, but he was playable. Like, that's more where my concern is. I just think, I think the second you drafted Shador, I think Kenny became obsolete. You don't need to carry four quarterbacks on this roster. You at some point you're going to be chintzing it on some other spot that you need week to week, game to game, much more. And the Browns, listen, there is a workaround because of the way vesting works with vested free agents. You could just cut Joe Flacco and have him add him to the practice squad and do that. That's still a lot of shenanigans for Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and two mid round quarterbacks. If you've got four guys that can be legitimate starters in the NFL, clutch on to them as much as you can, and pray the right offer comes at the trade deadline, or pray you find a way to boost one of their value with playing. It's Joe Flacco, it's Kenny Pickett, it's Dylan Gabriel, and it's Shador Sanders. I didn't just name a murderer's row of quarterbacks. This is not Joe Montana, Steve Young, Steve Bono, and Elvis Gerbach, which I believe one of the years was their quarterback room in San Francisco. It's not Brett Favre, Matt Hasselbeck, and, oh gosh, who was the other quarterback? Is it Detmer? I think it was Detmer. That's three guys who are, at the very least, either a high-level backup or a fringe starter, or Brett Stinkin' Favre and eventually Matt Hasselbeck. I think we've allowed the Browns to massage the truth of this idea. And again, that's what they do. That's what organizations should do. You're trying to sell a fight that you love all your players. I think Kenny's only here is if he takes the job. All right, sorry. And I think not only do I think that's the way it is, I think it's the way it should be. If he's not good enough to take the job, let the rook sit on the bench behind Joe Flacco. And in the event that Joe folds or get hurt, then go to one of the rookies. But I do think the other part of this where I think it's wild that Daniel thinks, and again, this is a connected individual. I know that Daniel might be looking at the situation then piecing it together. I'm going to assume this is informed speculation from him. It's wild that he just is. He's framing the Joe piece right, which is Joe is the break glass in case of emergency. Hey, these rookies don't look ready to play. Now, Daniel was saying functional, which is that is a much lower bar than you or I have set here. I think it's wild that one of the most respected voices in football right now, we haven't even gotten to camp yet, thinks it's going to be a rookie. That's, and again, informed take. I'm not fighting the take. I'm just thinking, I think this challenges a lot of the notions people have on this.
So you and I can only react to what's in the room, and I think this is where I draw the issue. Is the Browns just built a quarterback room that didn't make any sense for their future. Right? Like,
it made sense for this year. Not a lot of sense, but it made some sense for this year.
But that, like, I don't agree with Joe, bringing Joe back in the first place. Like, it's a pander to the fans. It puts a smile on people's faces, reminiscing about 2023. But Joe has essentially no place for you as an actual role on this team. A 40-year-old quarterback who is desperate to find the right quarterback that can actually take them for, you know, 10-plus years. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a franchise guy. You threw Joe in there. If I wanted to put Joe Flacco on the roster, I would have said, scrap the quarterback position completely. Do an entire
Wildcat?
Just want to
do the Wildcat?
No, not that way. I'm saying
you just said scrap the quarterback position.
I meant in the draft. Like, scrap drafting a quarterback and go with a bridge quarterback like Flacco. Give him 18 games, assess everything, or 17 games, give him assess everything else around you, then get your quarterback in 2026, if that's what you wanted to do. They wanted to bring in the rookies. Now it's just, yeah, we can start the 40-year-old. Congratulations, you got yourself a 40-year-old quarterback that could play six, that could play 17 games, and you know exactly what you're getting for nothing else.
Listen, I think if the Browns end up playing Joe Flacco for 17 games, it's because they're winning 8, 9, 10, 11 games in the playoff hunt. There's no way you're going to get the organization to frame that's a bad thing. If Joe plays six games, well, then it was clear they were afraid of the early part of the schedule as well. And let's say he starts the first six games, they go 1-5, and they go right to Shador, Dillon, Gabriel. Then it's clear he was a meat shield. Either which way, that's a lot more useful than tiny baby hands Kenny Pickett, who I don't even think should start. If you feel that way about the two rookies, you damn sure shouldn't wish those first six games on Kenny Pickett.
Kenny at least makes sense organizationally. I mean,
how
he's a
so?
Veteran.
Like, he stinks. He's never played good football in his life.
That's perfectly
since
fine.
Pitt. One season at Pitt. Sorry.
Okay, so Kenny's essentially your meat shield with a 2% upside of, oh, maybe he's just incredible. Like, why is Joe the meat shield? Why do you bring in a 40-year-old quarterback to be the meat shield for the first six games?
Because he's a functional quarterback and Kenny isn't.
They clearly thought Kenny is. First thing you did this offseason, let me give a fifth-round pick to the Eagles for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, we're putting a lot of weight on that fifth-round pick. 216-474-0092. Daniel Jeremiah says he expects a rookie at quarterback to start week one. I think we kind of just go here. What percentage point as of right now? Because I think this can change once we get into camp. Like right now, coming out of OTAs, what percentage point would you put that a rookie actually starts week one? I think I put about, what, did I say 96%? It's about a 4% chance I think it actually happens. What was yours?
I think I'm at like 0.2.
It's like 0.001, I thought. I mean, weren't you like 99.99?
No, I said 99.9 or 99.8. I threw one of them out there. It was in that range.
Don't
it was
remember.
A tenth of a decimal. I don't know
don't
which one.
Don't even remember your decimal points. Jeez. 216-474-0092. How much percentage point would you give to a rookie starting week one right now? And yes, they are farther away than we think. You have to accept that before we can then go about making them better. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We spent a lot of the day talking about the Cleveland Browns, the latest of the quarterback situation. Feeder was again on the station today. He was on the station yesterday with Baskin and Phelps. He was on the station with the Morning Boys with Daryl and Spencer today. And
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
And I really, he brings up something here in talking about the Cavs and self-evaluation. I think there's a step before getting this thing right that we have to kind of acknowledge here.
The Cavs owe it to themselves to evaluate themselves. I don't think they are close, and I don't think there's anybody inside the organization that should think that they are close. They lost 4-1 to the Indiana Pacers. They lost a series in which many of their players, after the fact, were talking about them not being ready or not being mentally tough enough. This is a team that needs to take a harsh look in the mirror this offseason and ask themselves some very difficult questions about what they want to compete for and how it is that they are going to take the next step to compete for those things.
The Cavs have to self-evaluate, and the Cavs have to be honest with themselves. And I know that the trades that all of us want might not be out there, but after looking at what you've done in the regular season, looking how the last three postseasons have transpired, we need to stop deluding ourselves into thinking the Cavs are a championship team yet. They're not close. They've not come close. Whether they were healthy or not this year, health isn't the reason you got gentlemanly swept again.
I think health plays a part into it. No? Like, I don't know that you'd go down in that series 4-1 with a healthy Darius Garland, who I thought was the most integral missing piece in the series because he's imperative to how their offense operates. Like, I think health play, it's not the only thing, and I agree with you. Like, self-evaluation is needed. I just don't think they're that far off. Like, when we talk, they're not even close.
Yeah, they're not.
They're the number one team in the East. They won 67 games.
You just mentioned a bunch of regular season things. What about the postseason?
You swept the Heat in dominant fashion.
Ah, that was a tough one.
And then you were injured with two out of your three best players, three out of your five best players. You lost the series.
Well, going into that series, do you think Tyrese Halliburton was the best player in the series?
No, Donovan Mitchell was the best player in that series.
Where you think Hallie was two?
I did think Hallie was
okay.
Two.
Well, Evan Mobley, was he the second best player in that series?
Oh, he's the third best player in that series.
So third best, yeah. Where'd Darius Garland come? Before like Siakam came involved, if we think he's the second best pacer, where was Darius in that?
Darius was, I think it was a fight between 4 and 5. I think him and Siakam are somewhere
so
in that range.
You
together.
Had your two of the three best players in the series. They were healthy. And you got generally swept when you were favorited in every single game, but one game. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is out of their mind in putting you as favorites with no Darius Garland.
No, that's revisionist history.
I don't think it was.
Vegas was out of their mind. No, the Cavs were a 64-win regular season team. The Cavs had been the better team until they showed up in that series, got punched in the mouth and folded like an accordion.
I think they're the better, like game one going in, they should have been favorites. I think by game two, when there was no Evan Mobley, no Darius Garland, no DeAndre Hunter, and it was clear those guys were hurt enough to miss a game, I don't see how you're the favorite, which they were, if I'm not mistaken, in that game, or very slight underdogs. And then as soon as they were back off of one game's rest, they were all of a sudden favorites again.
So do you think DeAndre Hunter getting a full offseason, Kenny Atkinson getting a full offseason as the head coach in a full offseason to run his program, that's going to turn Jalen Tyson and Okoro and Craig Porter Jr. into the bench from hell that is going to give everybody the business?
No, so this is where I think that we're just slightly different on is when we talk about, I don't think they're there. Like, they're not ready to win a championship with the roster currently constructed. I just don't think when we say they're very far off, they're not even close. I think a healthy version of this team with tweaks and adjustments is right there, like right there ready to compete.
I think the healthiest version of this team gets generally swept in the fifth round.
Second round?
Sorry. Gets generally swept in the third round of the playoffs. I think, yeah, you might make the Eastern Conference next year. But at some point, because here's the thing, every time in which they were so much more talented and healthy than Miami, that's why you blew them out. But any time they're in a real dogfight in a series, and I can say this because, yep, they weren't healthy. They're in a real dogfight. They got blown out 3 of 5 games against Indiana. They weren't healthy the year before in Boston. But any time they got pushed, they fell over. The year before that, anytime you got pushed, you fell over completely. Like, at some point, the trend is, like, at some point, you can't ignore the trend of, like, well, okay, even if the injuries are it, okay, how are they going to magically stay healthy now?
Like, I think that's a fair question. Like, looking at this team and saying, are they just brittle? Are they injury prone? Like, that's a fair question to ask. I think with Darius Garland, it's tough because look at a guy that I think, like, people have projected him to have the Steph Curry body transformation of essentially being undersized and scrawny to putting on some muscle and being able to defend a little bit better.
And still being
undersized.
A little scrawny.
Yeah, a little bit, but a better defender. Like, Steph certainly got better defensively after he added some pounds of muscle on. I just think, like, when we talk far off, I'm like, okay, you might have two pieces that work. I don't think trading Darius Garland and Jared Allen and wiping out the bench is the complete answer. Like, I think your bench needs adjustments. Isaac Okoro, sorry, Mac, is an absolute, like, nothing at the contract. He's not helping you. He's not worth playing playoff minutes. And then I think you have a question to answer on Ty Jerome.
I think
you can probably move off Jared Allen.
I think Isaac Okoro is going to be somebody else's Neesmith. I don't think it's going to work out here because I think they've, as an organization, I think they've kept him around, and I don't think the belief is there anymore. I think that's a really nice 3-and-D piece, 7th, 8th spot off the bench. Good player. Not great play, but playable in the playoffs, absolutely.
Yeah, if he could hit a three.
He can. He didn't in the Indiana series because they didn't have a point guard and they stopped moving the ball. Like, there is a part of this where it's like, we do have to, and this is where the Darius injury stuff is fair, but like, okay, you might not have had Darius out there to facilitate. Guys, this is not set up anymore that Darius is just the pure facilitator. No, as a matter of fact, the whole point of the offense this year was you took the onus off of Darius and Donovan as playmakers, and the emphasis was on playmaking and the ball moving and players moving, which allowed the shots to come, and they stopped doing that. That has nothing to do with Darius. Now Ty Jerome getting exposed in the playoffs, yeah, that's because he's not a point guard, not a starting point guard. If he was a backup point guard, you would have different success there. With guys like Isaac or Dean Wade, We got to look at the cause and effect of, yes, Darius was out. He's a great playmaker. That would have helped you overcome that. You had Darius, and I know he was hurt, so I want to give him a little bit of caveat here, a little bit of a pass here. You had Evan Mobley in that game 4 cooking. They could not stop him. Could not be done. And every time Evan would make 3 or 4 baskets in a row or 3 or 4 important offensive plays in a row, the guards would go back out to jacking up three-pointers. You would get tangibly within reach and then bad shot selection. And honestly, the ball stopped moving. And by the way, the ball didn't really move that well with Donovan bringing the ball up the court and chucking it into to Evan Mobley. But at least it was giving you quality offensive possessions in some regard.
Yeah, so I think that's the point, though. Like, okay, so it's a philosophy change is why that didn't work. It's not like a piece is part. Like, you look at Darius Donovan and Evan, all of them were still crucial pieces there. It was the fact of what they actually were doing on the court, not what they're capable of doing on the court, was different. What was wrong.
Are the Cavs further away than we think? 216-474-0092, the lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.